It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Hafman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Oh, God, I love it when the Packers beat the Vikings. I just love it so much. I love it. Evan, does it make you happy? Evan's here. Evan, do you enjoy it when the Packers beat the Vikings?
Oh, it makes me so happy. The purple, the perps, get down.
I don't know. Ben and I have had this discussion. Ben somehow still harbors the thing against the Bears. Like, you're most against, you still think the biggest rival is the Bears. And how can it be the Bears? The Bears are terrible. I just think, like, how can you hate the Bears when they stink so bad?
Because they're the Bears. What are you talking about?
Just because they're the Bears. Look, man.
Listen,
the Vikings are the Packers' biggest rival, though.
No.
These days. For the last 20
Vikings
years.
Have only been around for 40 or 50 years or some crap. 50 years. Who gives a crap? The Bears have been around for 100 years.
So you're
that's
more of
twice as much hate. That's twice as much hate that's been built up over 100 years as over 50 years. That makes the Bears the biggest rival.
This is the Packer Outright Opinion Show, by the way, with Hafman Bros here on a Friday night. Starting out on the radio, we continue on. We're on YouTube as well, just heads up. Check us out on YouTube, Hafman Bros. Just look up Hafman Bros on YouTube. You can find us. We stream it on Facebook and Twitter, too. We're big on the Twitter. No, we're not. We don't do a lot on Twitter, but we put this out once in a while. The Tube is where you find us mostly, and we appreciate everybody who loves to find us on YouTube. Raider Rick's here. He says, fire it up, Ben. So what we've just found out and discovered is Ben is more of a historian with his hate, and I'm more, you know, kind of like what's been going on the last, you know, 20-some years. There's been a bunch of events with the Vikings. The Vikings are more of a competitor for the Packers. And, you know, Ben and I went to school in Eau Claire. Lots of Viking fans that we went to school with. So, you know, I think that's where it built it up for me, really, being in Eau Claire for as long as we were.
Right, but here's the thing. Before we got to Eau Claire, did you ever even think of the Vikings?
No, because they were too far
exactly.
away.
Like, well, exactly.
Except in 1989 when they ruined the Packers season. How don't you hold that against
right,
the Ben?
Right, but that's...
Come on!
Yeah, I didn't even know who the Vikings were. I was like, what? Who cares? All I cared about was Don Majkowski and Sterling Sharp and Tim Harris, and that's all I cared about. And I didn't care. I didn't even know the Vikings were probably in the same division at that point. I wasn't that big of, I mean, I was a Packer fan, but I wasn't a knowledgeable football fan. All I knew was, hey, can we please beat the Bears? And we did with the Don Majkowski miracle throw on fourth down into triple coverage to Sterling Sharp in the end zone as he's flying out of bounds. And we had the whole instant replay play. That was the greatest play in the history of all time, according to me.
All time.
According to me, it was the greatest Packer play of all time because we beat the freaking Bears. So, yes, did we destroy the Vikings? Yes. Here's why. Because even when the Vikings are good, they're not good.
Like this year?
Yeah. Oh,
poor Vikings.
Even when they're a good team, they're not a good team.
Aww.
So who cares? They're going to doink a kick. The kicker makes every single kick all year, and then when they need him to make it, he misses?
I know.
Come on. They went to the Super Bowl four times in the 70s, never won.
Didn't he make a 61-yarder last week or the week before or whatever it was?
Well, this guy, yeah. I'm talking about back in the, you know, when
in
the 90s when they were good. Yeah. But like, and the other thing is this, the last time we went to the Super Bowl, our biggest rival there was the Bears.
Oh,
the NFC
Bears.
Championship game. We had to have a B.J. Raji interception against the third-string quarterback to win that game. That's a rivalry. Not the Vikings. When we play the Vikings in the playoffs, who do we play? Tavares Jackson? I mean, come on. Like, that's not a freaking challenge. And this year, if we play him if we get there and we get to the Vikings somehow, we'll freaking wipe the freaking floor with them because they're a bunch of whiners. They're a bunch of whiners.
What are you, Ben, those cleats? Come on. Terrible field turf at Lambeau. Come on. I mean, legitimate complaints by the Vikings there, right?
No. It's a
somebody
bunch of
was
whiny
saying,
pieces of crap.
Watcher 22 is here, and he says, I live in Chippewa Falls. Hey, We know Chippewa Falls. We were up there for a long time, friend.
Matter, we work for we work for WEAU, Mr. Watcher 22.
That's true. If you
we are actual news professionals, not That's just right. like, so when people think like, who are these two idiots yapping on the, they don't know anything about news and sports and blah, blah. It's like, yeah, we were professionals in the news industry for years. Okay, me for like a year and a half, but still it was multiple year and a half. You know,
yeah.
I didn't study to do that. You did, but still. We have clout. We know what we're talking about.
And one of us and is award. If you can see the video, one of us is award winning. I won an award.
Jason won an award as a journalist.
Award winning. Award winning journalist, which might happen again. There are right now the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. We just got word at Civic Media today that the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is still accepting show applications for their awards. There is a sports category. And I've been encouraged by Todd Alba to submit something from this show, this program. The thing is, there's so many gems. How do I pick? How do I select what I can possibly submit? The best.
Well,
I mean,
got it. Something that has a fart gun in it. Obviously, we'll definitely win.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, you put a fart gun in anything, it's going to win an award. I mean, come on.
Everybody loves the fart gun.
I mean... The Vikings, I think they must have had a perpetual fart gun on Sunday because every play was a fart gun. Right, not a salute, but like a destroying of a flagellants. They flagellated all over. I don't know if that's a word. It might be a verb. I don't know. They flagellated all over the field.
Verbs are action words. Action words. So, Evan, let me know if we're ready for some of the stuff. We got our players of the game. We got the silent but deadlies. We got the... we got stuff like that to get into whenever you're ready. Evan's ready. All right. Before we get to that, Watcher says some Viking tin hat conspiracy fans claiming we watered down the field. No, look, it's just simple science. Can we talk about science for a second? Here's the deal, right? When the temperature is around the freezing mark, which it was, then moisture condenses on surfaces, including grass. So the condition of the field was just fine, but if you don't have long enough cleats that you actually get below the grass well enough, you're going to slip and fall down like Justin Jefferson did for a whole half. And the other dumb part is that the Vikings coaches and the Vikings experienced players told everybody wear these cleats, and the dumb new ones who hadn't played in that condition before were like, I'm just going to wear these cleats. And they didn't listen to the people on their own team, so blame your own damn... dummies for not listening to your team. How's that?
Yeah. Plus, listen, I've been talking about this for years. I mean, the advantage of Lambeau Field at this time of year is the conditions. Like, it's a slower field.
Nice day for January football.
Right. It was like peak conditions for football. But what I'm saying is, it's the condition of the field, condition of everyone else, and utilizing the running game. Like, this team is finally built to play in Lambeau Field. The other teams with Aaron Rodgers as quarterback were this high-flying pass, which is not built to win at Lambeau Field. Now, unfortunately, if they make the playoffs, we will have no games at Lambeau Field, even though we have a team built for it now, finally. Right. So that's a little bit concerning. However, they do have a complete team, finally. It took them, 17 weeks to get there. But now they have a team that has a defense and a special teams and a running game. And if the quarterback just doesn't screw it up, the four-time MVP, $50 million quarterback just doesn't screw it up, they should win on Sunday and then get into the playoffs. But they still have to win.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we're going to talk about the Vikings game first. Yep. It was exciting. It was probably the most fun game to watch all year because 100%. They just dominated all over the field.
Without having a huge offensive output. They dominated this game. Teams, the defense. I mean, the offense was fine, but
Aaron Jones had over 100 yards rushing, dude.
Yeah, and 14 carries. Ridiculous.
That's domination.
I'm saying it's good offense. Aaron Rodgers had 159 yards and one touchdown pass. $50 million quarterback. We'll get into this in a little bit later. It's part of the beef I have tonight. It's kind of this misconception of what's going on. Your $50 million quarterback, you're paying $50 million for this game. 15 out of 24, 159 yards, one touchdown pass, no interceptions.
And a rushing touchdown.
And one rushing touchdown. He did run. Yeah. One run, 2 yards, and a rushing touchdown, which was a good decision by him not to try to throw it, not to try to Favre that one. Anyway, okay. I know we're coming up on a break here in a little bit because we got off on those early tangents, but that's all right. We'll pull it back in. Evan, I've missed your last cue. Sorry, I was on another screen. So give me another. Where are we at? Where are we at? Oh, what, 3 minutes? Yeah, 3 minutes. Oh, we got some time. All
right. Tons of time. What are you talking about?
Lee is here. Lee says hello. Wyatt, Devontae Wyatt's here, and he's singing his own praises. He says Wyatt, talking about himself, played well against the run, is eating his veggies, as Dominican Sue would say. $1 million for every 3 yards. Thank you, Wyatt. Yes. And ex-Packer Jamal Williams needs to be shut down this game. We'll get to that at the end of the show. But, Ben, who was your silent but deadly player from this game? Do you have one?
Yeah, my silent but deadly player. Here's the thing. I don't know if he was really that silent. When you watch the game, if you watch it with a good eye, he wasn't silent because he made plays all game long and was destroying things all game long. But so many big plays happened in this game. You had Aaron Jones with over 100 yards. You had the kickoff return for a touchdown. You had an interception return for a touchdown. You had 3 interceptions. You had a force sack fumble recovery by Kenny Clark. So all these huge big plays happened. And but there was one guy on the field who jammed receivers at the line of scrimmage, who broke up passes. Whenever a completion was completed on his, wherever he was, tackled the guy immediately, played on special teams, got tackles on special teams, was the first guy to celebrate whenever there's a big play with the guys who scored. The biggest leader on this team, the number one freaking guy on this team who you should believe in as a Packer fan, my guy, Rasul Douglas, is the silent but deadly player of this game.
Rasul Douglas, he is awesome. We know, man, I mean, the guy is probably one of the smartest, most aware players. And I think that's when, you know, Aaron Rodgers compared him. That was what he was talking about when he compared him to Charles Woodson. It's just like a dude who just is super aware of what's going on. My silent but deadly player from this particular game, I'm going to go with... I was a little torn on this one, but I'm going to go with Zach Tom again. Dang it, Zach Tom. You're so silent, but you're always so good. Zach Tom is, he can be silent but deadly player every time he gets on the field, for crying out loud. He saved our butts again because Yash went down with an injury. Zach Tom steps in, stays in the rest of the game, even though Yash could come back. That was just something a little telling right there as we wind down this Packer season. So we'll look forward to a little more Viking stock when we return on the other side of the break. Come on back for Packer Outright Opinions.
Oh, yes.
Tick.
I got this one in a show for you, Ben. How are you feeling about that?
This is the Lane Staley song of all time. If you ever want to hear the greatest, freaking craziest vocalist of all time, listen to Love, Hate, Love, Alice in Chains, Lane Staley. If you really want to get a treat, listen to the live version, because at the Moor from 1990, it is insanity land. That Evan, guy had a voice.
Have you checked that one out, Evan? You heard that version?
Nope, and you know I'm about to.
It's awesome. About to happen. He destroyed it. It was ridiculous. Yeah. All right. So let's do a little Packer talk. We didn't get to our Oh Yeah plays. We got Oh Yeah plays. And this mine is, I'm starting this one off. And I mean, I don't know if we might have the same Oh Yeah play. I don't even know. But as somebody pointed out here earlier in the chat, that Nixon started it off. And I don't know. The 105-yard kickoff return from Keyshawn Nixon, the ultimate weapon on special teams, who should have been the punt returner and kickoff returner all season long, was my Oh Yeah play of the game. 105-yard kickoff return. Last time the Packers had one of those was like 50 years ago. All right, maybe 4 years ago, but whatever. You know, it's been a long time.
Oh, yeah!
What about you, Ben?
My Oh Yeah play has to do with my silent but deadly player, and that's the Savage interception return for a touchdown, because on that play would never happen if Rasul Douglas didn't beat the snot out of TJ Hockenson and break up the pass. And then here's the thing that a lot of people probably don't know is the first guy to seal Adam Thielen on the block so that Savage gets his first initial moves in the first 10 yards is Rasul Douglas. Knocks the ball in the air, watches Savage intercept it. Then as soon as he gets, sees Savage has it, boom, beelines for the first Viking he sees. The only guy who could maybe mess up the play right away, takes it onto Thielen, blocks him out of the play, and then Savage, of course, finds a convoy and takes it all the way to the house.
Oh, yeah.
So that was my OIA. Yep.
Now, a quick honorable mention from the chat here. Devontae Wyatt, who's hanging with us once again tonight, says his running mate in the inside, TJ Slayton, MVP of the game. He did have a nice game helping to bottle things up. And they finally put him on the nose and moved Kenny Clark off of the nose, which was a good thing all the way around.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great thing. And it was the other thing is this. Kenny Clark did some good things in this game as well. And the thing is this. I mean, the Vikings offensive line is
pretty rough.
It's terrible. The only thing that scares me about this week coming up with the Lions is you're going to see, like, we just went against the 32nd ranked offensive line in the league. I'm just making that up, but they're pretty bad. And we're going up against like the number one ranked offense.
I think they're 33rd, Ben.
Well, that's even worse. So I don't know how they can do it, but the Lions are like the best, especially in the running game.
Yep.
So it's going to be a real test for these guys. I mean, they had an easy going last week against a bunch of scrubs. Now this week, they got to go against a bunch of road graders who don't mess around, and they're all really smart. And the offensive line is the strength of that Lions offense. So it's going to be a totally different game. And it's going to be those guys in the trenches. Can they carry it over from last week and be like, okay, we beat up on these guys that stink. Now let's take it to the guys who are actually really good and at least hold our fort and get in the way and try to slow them down a little bit so that the rest of the guys around us can make some plays. But I really like TJ Slade at the nose. I mean, he took on double teams. He did swim moves on the center to get to the backfield. He got tip passes. He was all over the place doing things. I mean, it wasn't over the play. It was one place, you know, right in the middle of the field, but he made plays all over the place from being there. Everything he did was golden, and it was remarkable to see him. A lot of people thought it was Wyatt that was going to make the bump up because Lowry got injured. And here it was, let's move Slayton to the nose, move Kenny Clark outside to the defensive end. And it was a huge difference, and that was a very, very smart move by whoever decided to do it, whether it was Jerry Montgomery, the D-line coach, or whether it was Barry. Whoever decided it, smart move by those guys.
Yeah!
It could have been Johnny Gray. Who the heck knows who said it? But as Wyatt says here, I'm sorry, Watcher 22 says, y'all notice D-line better without Lowry. Well, yes, but also the thing we have to be a little cautious about is what you're talking about is we've seen it before. We've seen Packers defensive linemen look really great in a game against terrible offensive linemen. And then when they got to play the good lines, they kind of disappear or they kind of get handled. So that's the thing you got to be a little cautious for. There's a couple other things they'll be cautious about when we talk about the Lions game a little bit more in the show. We got a couple minutes before break here. So I do just want to finish a few other exciting plays that were kind of honorable mentions. There are oh yeah plays too. They can't be the selection this week. But when Mason Crosby just ran out on the field and said, I've never kicked a field goal. I haven't kicked a field goal this long all year. I haven't kicked a field goal at Lambeau Field this long in, I don't know, 5 years. But I'm going to kick it, baby. I'm kicking it. And he doinks it in just over the crossbar. Come on. Come on. That's when you knew the Packers were destined to win the game.
Well, that was, yeah. Like before that, I was still worried because it's still the Packers and it's still the Vikings. And you know, something crazy, even though the Vikings came back from 33-0 against the Colts or whatever, you know, a couple of weeks back. So I was just like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. But once Mason Crosby hit that super long field goal and it doinked over, I was like, that's it. I mean, they're not going to come back from this. Packers got this game. So, and that was where I finally relaxed. Prior to that, even with all the great things that happened, all the interceptions, all the, you know, big plays on defense and special teams and the great running game, I was still worried. But after that happened, I was like, all right, forget it. The Vikings have no chance of winning this game.
Let's analyze you for a second here real quick following that. I mean, is this an influence from mom? Like, why do you worry so much during the games? The Packers were dominating the game. Like, what are you worried about, man?
I told you, I don't trust the quarterback or the coach. I trust every other player on this team. I don't trust those two. And despite what all the fans are saying, which I think is going to lead to your beef later, is the fact that this game was not won by the quarterback. or even the head coach. It was won by the special teams coach and the special teams unit and the defensive coaches and the defensive unit.
Yeah.
And the offensive line coach and the offensive coordinator who comes up with the running game.
Basically everybody else but those two
everybody
guys.
Else besides the quarterback and the coach won this game. And that's why when I knew all those guys were on top of their crap this week, I was like, okay, we got this. The quarterback and the head coach can't screw this up anymore. There's no way.
Oh, we heard opposite things from other people who talk about Packers, and we'll talk about that next here on Packer Outright Opinions. Come on back. Bring you back in to the radio show. Welcome, radio audience, YouTubers. Thanks for hanging with us during the breaks. You get a little inside look at stuff. Okay, we got the game against the Lions coming up. We got a couple other things to talk about, Ben. There are a couple of recap here from statistics from the game. Let me take Evan off. I know he wants his private moments. All right. So a couple of other things from this game, right? We kind of covered some of this stuff, but Aaron Rodgers, I mean, 160 yards. He continues his streak of not even having a 260-yard game all season long. Actually, it was more than 100 yards below that in this game. So, I mean, it's just astounding to me, and we'll finish up on that. But the run game was featured, so thank you for that, Packers, and they were balanced. 14 carries for Aaron Jones, 111 yards, almost 8 yards a carry. Dylan, 12 carries, 41 yards, had a touchdown. Patrick Taylor, 5 carries, only 10 yards. But again, a lot of that is about the attempts and sticking with the run. And some of those were garbage time ones where they were Vikings were loading up against the run. Very balanced distribution with receptions, except Alan Lazard had the most with 5. Robert Tonyan. They threw a lot of deep shots to Christian Watson in this game. And Ben, how do you feel about some of those? It felt like some of those were just kind of a waste.
Well, I have one on video. There's times where Rodgers, I don't know if he passes up the easy pass to try to take a shot. And when it works, we love it. When it doesn't work, it really stalls a drive. And people need to start realizing this. And he needs to start realizing that based on the team he has now, he doesn't have to take those shots. He doesn't have to be crazy. Only take the shot when it's a designed play to do that. And he's more and more, he likes to just take the shot when he feels like it instead of taking the, like if the play is designed to get 3 yards and a first down on 3rd and 5 and, or 3rd and 5, 3rd and 3 and it's decided to get 5 yards on an out route to Alan Lazard, he passes it up and then tries to go deep. And he does that all the time. And he needs to stop. Just take the freaking 3-5 yards and set it up and take those deep shots on second down off a play action or something like that. But he does it too often where he's trying to make things happen. And there were times where there were called plays and he just overshot it or Christian Watson didn't catch it or whatever the heck, or the guy grabbed him that one time.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they were trying too much. Like Christian Watson has got speed. A lot of Christian Watson's biggest plays have been end arounds or quick slants he takes to the house. You don't have to throw it 40 yards in the air to get to him downfield. Matter of fact, right, he catches the ball better on those slants when he's moving and he catches it and he's still in motion and he takes it the rest of the way. I'm kind of sick of deep shots to Christian Watson, and I'd like to see more quick slants to Christian Watson.
That's a good point.
That's what I want to see.
Because he's good. He's like the best run after the catch guy the Packers have had as a receiver in quite some time. Hey, we got my friend. He finally stayed up long enough to call into our show. He said he would always fall asleep, but it's my buddy Pizza Box. Mike, Pizza Box, how are you?
Not too cool, man. I just had to call you because Charlotte put 51 on the Bucks in the first quarter, man.
I'm a little down about my Bucks, but the problem is, okay, they had some losses, they had some wins. They're 5-5 in the last 10, but then you look up and the Celtics are 5-5 in the last 10. So, you know, hey, we're doing fine. We're doing fine, Pizza Box.
Yeah, and then Brooklyn's 9 out of 10, and Cleveland's like 8 out of 10. So yeah, there's a lot of good teams, man. It's back and forth, but what are you guys so down on Rodgers for? Didn't you see him after the game last week? He's already heading to the playoffs.
Hey, how do you feel about Pizza Box? What did you interpret Aaron Rodgers being asked to lead differently at the kind of midpoint of the season when he was asked to lead differently this season. What do you think that conversation was, and what did they ask him to do differently in his leadership?
Well, probably to concentrate on football and lead with his, like, his football equipment instead of his tongue. I don't know. He's definitely not the four-time MVP that he was. It's I don't know if it's the mushrooms or whatever, but the guy is literally not right, and he hasn't been for a while, and it's just too bad that it had to play out and they didn't get rid of him and keep those wide receivers.
I mean, the big question with Rodgers is, was this all stuff that was underlying the whole time and he suppressed it until the last handful of years? Or is this, did he have such a bad reaction to them drafting a quarterback in the first round that this is his reaction to that? I have no idea, but look, I think personally, and Ben, you tell me if I'm wrong, I think what they said to him was like, stop being a jerk. Try that for leadership for once. Stop being a jerk and calling everybody out and blaming everybody else. And just, if you're not going to, you know, take responsibility yourself, at least just be quiet about it and don't start pointing fingers and quit that. Maybe that was the
leadership. I don't know what they did or what they asked him to do or all this crap. But what bothers me is after the game, when it was clear that he had zero, like almost zero impact on the game, to be quite honest,
yeah,
he took all the credit again. He's like, I don't know how many guys in that locker room. Was he talking about his own locker room? So he's saying that the guys in his own locker room didn't believe. He's saying that none of the reporters believed, none of the fans believed, but he knew all we got to do is win one game. And then he acted like it was him because he believed. That's the reason why they won all these games. It was just his mental belief and, you know, his ayahuasca brain cells that created this four-game winning streak that got him back into the playoffs hunt here. Really, Aaron Rodgers? No. It was the defense changing. It was the special teams coming together. It was the running game. It was all these other things, not you. Yet you take the credit. You think the whole world revolves around you. It does not. This is a Packer team, and I am a Packer fan. And that win against the Vikings was a Packer win. Not an Aaron Rodgers win, a Packer win. And as soon as Rodgers is out of town, and I can't wait until that day happens, then I get my Packers back, and I don't have to listen to this smug ayahuasca guy anymore.
Hey, Pizza Box, we're going to move on to some other stuff, but what do you got for us before we let you go? Any thoughts about this game coming up against the Lions?
I think your brother summed it up well, and yeah, I don't think the Packers have beat the Lions yet. You know, this could be a lot tougher game than certainly Aaron Rodgers seems to think. I mean, after the game, I was like, well, he thinks he's already in the playoffs. And the Bucks are coming back, so you guys keep rocking.
Hey, thanks, Pizza Box. We appreciate it, man. Hang in there. The Bucks always battle to the end. That's something that's different from them and Aaron Rodgers.
Right,
sorry for yelling so much. Sorry for yelling so much.
That's okay. Look, let's carry on. You might as well cue up the beef, Evan, because we're already on it almost. But let's cue up the beef. Give me the beef. Beef it up.
And now it's time for the Hafeman Bros Silent but Deadly Player of the Week.
All right, we covered Silent but Deadly. So that's okay, Evan. The beef is the one we're going for next time. That's all right. That's here. Evan gets
Man,
this.
Man, I got a beef to pick with you.
You want some beef or what?
Yo, what's your beef?
Come on, man.
All right, here's the deal, guys. Aaron Rodgers is the beef. Actually, it's not even Aaron Rodgers. I'm not talking about him. The beef is this. I listened to an ESPN. I don't listen to a lot to ESPN radio, but I listened to some ESPN radio this week. Local show out of Madison, ESPN Madison. And on this show, it's a sports show where they talk a lot about the Packers, and they're not really Packer guys. They're like fans of other teams. But they talk about it, and they did this thing about the pie chart. Who is most – the big Packers turnaround. The big turnaround, Ben. How did the Packers go from 4-8 to on the verge of the playoffs? And these guys gave – they give the pie chart and how much percentage to each person, or I don't even know if they would consider a position group. Cause like my biggest piece of the pie, I wouldn't call just one person. I'd be like special teams would get a big chunk and defense would get a big chunk, but special teams to me would get the biggest chunk for the whole turnaround during this time. But they had 60%+ of the pie for this turnaround to Aaron Rodgers. Based on what? A guy that throws for under 200 yards in a game, a guy that throws his averaging like 220 yards a game is the reason? Like, what did he do other than stop being a jerk to everybody in the media and his teammates and his coaches? So what did he do other than that? Like, I guess if you're weighing that in, maybe you can credit him some, but not for his play. What has his play been? It's average. Look, here's the thing. And my beef is this. It's media people. It's people that watch the Packers. This is a Packer problem. Because on other teams, if the quarterback stinks, that guy gets a lot of crap. Okay? And when the quarterback's good, they don't necessarily always say the quarterback's awesome or gets all the credit. For many other teams. And a lot of times, these other quarterbacks, if they stink it up, they're out. But in the Packers situation, the quarterback gets all the credit. And if the quarterback stinks, he takes no blame. No blame. So that was Brett Favre's career, and that is Aaron Rodgers' career. So this is a Packer problem. I don't know how it's infiltrated the media across everywhere, but that's just the narrative that continued. It's continued for 30 years. And to me, it drives me batty. Like, as a Packer fan, watch other teams, watch other quarterbacks who are being successful. There are many other quarterbacks in the NFL that are playing much better football than Aaron Rodgers. Much better. Yet he is paid the highest. Yet he gets all the credit when his team wins. I just don't get it. I can't understand it. It's my beef.
Well, I agree. And the other thing is fans as well. Who, and not like the hardcore fans, but like the thing is, Green Bay obviously is the smallest city that has a football team. The area that it's in, and also the state of Wisconsin as a whole, doesn't have a whole lot going on. And we love the fact that we're a community-owned football team, a community-owned sports program, and that brings a lot of fans who maybe, you know, they have other things going on in their lives. But if you, especially Northeast Wisconsin, like Packers are like it. Like it's number one. It's like, you know, there's Packers and then there's like the church. You know what I mean? Like anybody who's really religious, it's like Packers come before church sometimes, you know, if you're a religious person.
We remember going to church and they would, you know, they would talk about the Packers during sermons and whatnot.
Well, right? Yeah, they go, all right, I'll make sure my sermon's short. So we all get home by noon to watch the Packers. Like, wrap it up. Yeah. All the time. Yeah. Like, okay. All right, Father, let's wrap this up here, you know, but I mean, that's the kind of stuff that would happen. But because of that, we have a lot of fans who are just, you know, they're fans. But they don't watch the game intricately. They don't follow. They watch the news or whatever, and they, you know, get the reports from the reporters or whatever. But they don't actually know everything that's going on. And then when the quarterback comes up and says, "Oh yeah, well I believed in this team, and I changed my leadership so that we can win, and I believed in some of the guys in my own locker room didn't even believe, but I believed," and oh, you know, and they hear him say that stuff, they're like, "Oh man, Aaron Rodgers is such a great guy. He's such a great leader. He changed his leadership so that they can win. He's a genius and a great player." No, this team changed. This is a Packer team, and I'm excited for this Packer team, but I'm worried. Because of Rodgers, he could blow it up.
You're worried in the moment when it comes down to crunch time, he's going to think he's got to do it and go away from what's worked, right? Look, you sent me something here. Let's talk about this. We got just a minute or so before the break. Not everybody appreciates the way Aaron Rodgers conducts himself, and you sent me something on that.
Yeah, well, I don't have it up. You do.
Oh, I got it. The quote this week was from Lions free safety Deshaun Elliott says, "The way he carries himself, I don't like none of that shh." Talking about Aaron Rodgers and the disrespect he has shown to the Lions. And oh, has he shown plenty of disrespect to other teams, but also disrespect to his teammates. Look, man, The Packers better be ready for this game. And we're going to talk about why they need to be ready when we come back on the other side of the break. Because the Lions were 1-6. The Lions are now 8-8. And even don't fool yourself. There's been talk about if the Lions, you know, if the Seahawks win and the Lions have no chance of making the playoffs, there's been talk that what will happen is, oh, the Lions might not try as hard.
Okay. You just brushed over it. We didn't even talk about it. Aaron Rodgers,
I'm sorry,
after the Lions game, when he threw three picks, he said...
Let's talk about it out on the other side. We'll talk about it on the other side.
You got 20 seconds.
Oh, all right. Well, you go. All right, fine, man. Jeez Louise.
How do you bring up the Keyshawn Nixon and them? Oh, my God. I'm losing my mind.
We'll come back to it. I thought you were telling me
I'm losing my mind. Aaron Rodgers is making me crazy.
I didn't get your Aaron Rodgers hand signals. Make it clear next time.
You done messed up, Aaron.
We're back for the final piece of Packer Outright Opinions. You heard what happens in live radio is much like live football. If you give a guy a signal and he doesn't know what the heck it is, you're in some trouble, right? Like something's not going to go right.
I have to apologize to all the listeners. I turned into Aaron Rodgers. I gave you a signal that they didn't see, and I had never told you what it meant, but I expected you to know it. I mean, that's classic Aaron Rodgers. I guess I'm a four-time MVP, and I should be paid $50 million a year. Let's go. I can take some money. I'll take it.
We do have, to clarify our signals in the future, when you want to say something, Watcher has a great suggestion in the chat. He thinks the signal should be the middle finger. And then I'll know what you want from me.
Yeah, but I always give you that. So you gotta come up with something else.
That's fair. That's fair. And we won't want Evan to take offense in the video stream. So
Yeah. Know.
Oh, okay. He's good. Hey, look, let's go back to the Lions piece. Aaron Rodgers disrespecting the Lions. The free safety doesn't like it. What did you have to say about that?
Well, here's what I want to say. Was after the last game, when he threw three interceptions and single-handedly was the reason they lost the game 15-9, gave up 24 freaking points that they should have had, he said, yeah, I can't believe he lost to that team. And he said it derogatory, that team. We lost to that team.
I don't remember
like
that.
They're below. Not only they're below of the below team. That's what he means. Mm. His disrespect for the Lions is ridiculous because this is a total different team under Dan Campbell.
Heck yeah.
They're the knee-biting, fighting Dan Campbells. They give everything they got. They go for it on fourth down. They do crazy stuff. They attack. Maybe they got some players that are dumb. Maybe they do a bunch of stupid stuff and they stink. But you know what? They try hard. And they got a lot of power on offense. And if the Packers have the mindset as their quarterback that they're not taking this Lions team serious, it could be a problem on Sunday night. So they all I hope that they change attitude since they got beat in that game. Though really it was just one guy who got beat. Number 12 got beat.
Right.
With his three picks.
Yeah, it was a terrible game for Rodgers. I mean, he single-handedly lost them the game. The Packers could have 9 wins and basically be in the playoffs already.
If they could lose, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. Let's just revisit here. Pick. Let's revisit really quick. Aaron Rodgers, 23 out of 43, barely over 50%, 291 yards. Oh, his closest to 300 yards a season. One touchdown and three interceptions. One touchdown, three interceptions in that game. And all of those three interceptions were where the Packers were on the brink of scoring. A touchdown, basically. So that's 23 points right off the board. Didn't he have a fumble in that game, too? Wasn't he responsible for 28 points?
I
believe so. Now, that's not going to get it done. But again, as we said, if he just takes a back seat and the Packers run the ball, then they have a chance to win this game. It could be tough, though. The Lions are not the same old Lions. The point I wanted to make before was that some people are talking about, oh, well, you know, having the Seattle game earlier, if Seattle wins, the Lions have no chance of making the playoffs. Only the Packers would if they win. But I don't think that's going to matter to the Lions because if you're a Lions player, and yes, you may have just missed out on the playoffs, the Lions, look, they're turning this thing around. They're excited to be showing this much progress from last year to this year in wins and losses. And number two, They know if they win, they keep the Packers out of the playoffs. That's a heck of a lot of motivation right there to play hard and give it your best.
Right. And that's the disrespect that he's shown them in the past has led to them. They don't care. If they have nothing to play for, they're still playing to shut him up and get them out of the playoffs. They would love nothing more than to cream the crap out of us on Sunday Night Football in the last game of the year and eliminate them from playoff contention by dominating them and smacking them upside the head and then shutting them up for one last time this year. Now, I don't want that to happen.
Wyatt says, Aaron, Rodgers said that they're a very good football team a few days ago, so it seems like he might be taking them seriously. Let's hope.
That's good.
Watcher says he thinks that they have three O-line starters out, so that would definitely help the Packers' chances.
Ooh,
but you got to take these Lions seriously. Look, and that's the other part, too. Like, I almost think if the Lions have a playoff spot to play for, they will play less aggressively than they would if they don't. Because if they're out, they might go for it on almost every fourth down. They might be like, forget it. We're not putting this game. Let's go for it.
I have to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to matter one way or the other. I think they're going to play hard no matter what. They don't care.
They always do.
This team takes the head. They follow their head coach. And their head coach is like, we're doing whatever we have to do to win the game. Sometimes he makes a bad choice and they lose. They've actually lost a couple games because he went for a fourth down when he shouldn't have, or you know, he's doing dumb stuff. That's happened. So they could all honestly have 9-10 wins if their coach wasn't so crazy.
Yep.
But that's the difference, is they play that way all the time. And that's what's turned around their season this year, is the fact that they just go for it. But they've gotten blown out in the past couple times this year too, even in the last, you know, during their winning streak here of late. So there's a good chance, like, I honestly believe the Packers will win this game and should win this game, and then get to the playoffs and might go on a run. Who the hell knows? I don't know. But they have to be smart, do what they've been doing lately, you know, playing bump and run coverage, just mess up the opposing offense's rhythm. And thank God for signing Hollins. Is that his name? Justin Hollins?
Yeah, Hollins.
He's been getting some pretty good pressure at the end, or outside linebacker, defensive end position. And he's really helped out with Gary going down, helping out that rotation. So we don't have to use Jonathan Garvin because he stinks. So having him, Kingsley and Igbari, and Preston Smith's been picking up his game. And really, I think the marriage of that pressure of the secondary and then pass rush without blitzing. Apparently, the Packers have blitzed only 10% since the bye week.
Wow. I didn't realize
that. So they're getting a lot of pressure not from blitzing, from actual just their immediate rush. And that's made a big difference.
We'll talk about the Packers' chances of playoffs if they make it there. I just feel like one thing, you know, the Eagles showing some weakness here, and the team, you know, and the Niners just surging. I feel like Niners are the team to beat. Now, if you get them out of the gates, well, you're going to have to play them probably anyway. So just get it out of the way, and the rest of the ride would be easier if you get there for the Lions or the Packers, whoever the heck it is. But it's going to be interesting. We'll talk more about that. But look, the Packers got to be ready to play this game. Goff struggles in the cold a little bit. It's not going to be crazy cold, so I don't know how much of a factor that'll be, but it is a bit of a factor. And with the conditions at Lambeau, the Lions receivers can't be as dynamic. So that will help the Packers defense too. So I think it's going to be a little lower scoring than people think. For this one, I am going to say that my prophecy will come true. The Packers will win, will make the playoffs, 24-21. Ben, what you got before we go?
I honestly, if Aaron Rodgers plays smart, I think the Packers will win 35-14. They'll cream the crap out of them.
Wow. Bold. You thought they'd lose every other week, but now you're calling them the winner. Okay.
No. Now, if Rodgers stinks, then they'll probably barely win, but, you know. They're still going to win.
They're a team of destiny. Hey, all you got to do is get in, just like in 2010, and you never know what can happen. Thanks to Evan. Thanks to you guys for listening. Pizza Box Mike for calling in. We love Pizza Box Mike. Packer victory on Sunday night against the Lions. Playoff bound.